My laptop is 15 inches, and my messenger bag that I have can hold a laptop up to 13 inches.
So yeah.
I gotta carry like a different bag when I want to carry my laptop around.
It's always awkward.
It's inconvenient. It was an unwise. I mean, I really like my backpack, and I really like. I mean, my messenger bag. Excuse me, and I really like my computer. So.
Well, why don't you get a bigger messenger bag?
Well, yeah, but then I can't use my messenger bag that I have, that I really like.
Well, like, find that one, but bigger.
It's like a unique thing. It's an Evernote one.
Do you know they don't make those bigger?
They make one size. Like, Evernote makes one size. I mean, I might be able to find one, but the thing about my messenger bag is when you set it down, it stays upright. It's, like, built like that. So it doesn't, like, flop around. What are you doing? Are you searching the internet for the Evernote messenger bag? It stays upright, which is cool.
Yeah, no, that's handy, but, like, hopefully I will get to a point where I can make you one.
Because I thought you were, are you a woodworker or a leather worker?
Leather.
Oh, I thought you worked wood.
Mm-mm.
You don't work wood?
No, I have woodworking equipment, and I do, like, light carpentry and wood, like, adjusting wood for other purposes, but I don't make things out of wood. I have a lot of woodworking stuff because my dad was big into woodworking.
Right.
And then he needed somewhere to store it all. Like, he was like, your mom says I can't have this in here anymore. Also, I'm moving. So, I have a lot of useful tools, but I don't use all of them for woodworking. For instance, the scroll saw, I did use that for...
A what saw?
It's a scroll saw.
Like scrolling down, or like, you know, unrolling a scroll?
Yes.
Okay. I thought they said scroll, like the invaders from Marvel Comics.
It's a scroll saw, because it can turn into any kind of saw you can think of.
It's a super scroll saw, then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm not like carving fucking, I don't know.
Masterpieces?
Yeah, intricate shit that you would use a scroll saw for carving things. But I do use it. I use this stuff. I just don't use it all for its intended purposes. For instance, the drill press, I use that actually to...
Open cans?
No, I used it the way you're supposed to use a router, which is to, not like a computer router, but like a... You know, like a hand router for cutting wood. Divots.
Yeah.
But the piece of wood that I was working on was way too big to, like...
Do it with the regular router?
Yeah, to put up a rail, you know, to get the line straight with a router. Like, there are some guys out there who can take a router and just hold it and just do a straight line. I'm not one of those guys. And I couldn't figure out a way to do it. So what I did was I did the far more difficult thing, and I took the drill press and I drilled a big chunk of it out and, like, pulled the material through it. Any woodworking professional would say it was a terrible idea, but it worked.
Oh, the ends justify the means. So if Machiavelli is your woodworking idol in this case, or your woodworking role model, then you've achieved your goal.
No, my woodworking idol is Geppetto. I want to create an army of wooden soldiers to do my bidding and take over the world in Italian.
Fascist. No, I can imagine that, and just that would have been a very different movie if they'd done the Pinocchio like that. It occurred to me about 30 seconds ago that you've probably already been recording us.
Yeah, we've been recording for like 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, you're an asshole.
Hey, James.
Hey, Nick.
James.
Hey, Nick.
Welcome to Dork.
Welcome to Dork.
I'm Nick Moore.
I am James Brown.
And I'm Nick Moore, and you're listening to Dork.
You are indeed.
Episode 121, I think.
Oh, sure. Hey, 11 squared.
Thank you, James. Before we came in, we caught a little bit of Judge Judy.
We did.
And that's what I was looking at. I was like...
There was like some young Hispanic against a medium-aged black couple.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. But I was wondering about that. Because like...
You're wondering about Judge Judy?
Yeah, like about those shows in general. Because you were mentioning the People's Court and Judge Wapner, who's still alive.
Yes, he is 96 years old.
Jesus. And how old is his wife?
She was born in 1946, so she is 70 this year.
Yeah, but, and so she's younger than he is by,
yes,
like,
by 26 years.
Jesus. Around there. That would be like me dating a 10-year-old.
Yeah, I would say, I wonder when they got married. I would imagine sometime after 1966. Because she was 20, she would turn 20 then. So, I mean, she might, I don't know.
Yeah, there are a few, like, different.
So 50 years ago. So I would have been. Shows. He would have been 46. So if he were 46 and she was 20, I want her to give me a nice 20-year-old. Except he's 46, so it's like, I'm going to get me a nice 20-year-old.
Also, I'm a judge. He's probably a judge at that point.
46? Yeah, imagine.
Okay, so court shows started as radio dramas in the 30s and moved to television in the late 40s, beginning with Court of Current Issues, Your Witness, and Famous Jury Trials. Let's see.
Famous Jury Trials? So were they recreating Famous Trials?
Well, they have dramatizations and arbitration-based realities.
Mm.
Let's see. By the late 1990s, arbitration-based realities had overwhelmingly taken over the technique of choice within the genre, the trend continuing into the present. So, basically, they typically involve litigants who have agreed to have their disputes aired on national television so as to be adjudicated by a television show judge, air quotes.
Yes.
Due to the forum merely being a simulated courtroom constructed within a television studio as opposed to a legitimate court of law, the show's judges are actually arbitrators, and what is depicted is a form of binding arbitration. The arbitrators presiding in modern court programs have had at least some legal experience, which is often listed as a requirement by these programs. Wow. It often costs little to create, under $200,000 a week. And we're talking like once or twice a day.
Oh.
So, I guess you could knock out a bunch of those in a day.
Yeah. I mean, I know with like Jeopardy, they tape like 5 in a day. And like what we see on screen is like a half hour's worth, so.
But like, what's the motivation to do that? Why would you... Yes, put me on... Maybe you want to be famous.
Yeah, you like, just want to be like, you want to have... It's the court of public opinion kind of thing. Like, even if you get... the judge rules against you, then you still have... You can be like, well, you know, most of the television audience. You like it?
Yeah, it's very nice. Right. James brought me a beverage.
He said he didn't have any, so I got him some organic white tea of the blueberry variety.
It's delicious.
I'm glad you like it. I actually don't like my peach tea. So it's fine.
Oh, would you...
No. It's fine. It just wasn't what I... It's more peach than I expected.
Super
but
peachy?
I will usually get mango, but like I wanted to get something where you either one you could get.
Dude, I never look a gift horse in the mouth.
Well, there you go. Well, I wasn't buying the La Croix because I don't know where to get it from.
You could have brought me horse tea, and I would have been like, oh, horse flavor.
Horse flavor?
Thank you. I don't look this in its mouth. Because this is urine.
It's a gift, yes. anyway, so when you're on one of those reality judge shows, you know, you, whether the judge rolls against you or not, you could at least be like, well, the people watching know the truth now. They could, you know, they were on my side in spirit. I can feel it. You know, whether you get feedback from the internet or like call in or whatever the at the time the major form of
you can feel vindicated
was. Yeah, or you know, or at least that's your thought going beforehand, but by the time it actually, you know, it records, you've already signed all the papers to say you're okay with this going out. What is your watch doing?
This is a pebble, the original one of the original pebbles.
Okay, because it looks right now it just looks like a circle with two circles.
Yeah, it's a minimalist clock watch face.
So one of those is the hour and one of those is the minute,
and when it changes they don't move like normal, it spirals.
Yeah, it did a bunch of spiral things. At first I thought it was like reading my voice and doing like one of those sound wave reaction things.
Yeah, the problem is that when you see it you're like, oh, what is that? You have to wait exactly 1 minute
before it'll do it again.
So I have to just stand here, sit here like this.
I'm going to look eyes with you, so when it actually happens I'm not going
to
see it. And
you're gonna have to it's going to do it. James, no, take it, look, hold it.
All right, I'm holding and wishing and hope. This makes great radio, by the way.
It does.
Yes.
Thank God it's a podcast.
It is a podcast. Which is the same as, it's like, there's no video element.
Don't look away. Look at the watch.
There's no video element to it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Now I'm just holding it in front of my head, so no matter which way. Ah, it's doing weird things.
Huh?
Okay.
And the nice thing is I can put a bunch of different faces on it. Like I have one that's a Rolex.
Yeah, that's going to be convincing.
Yeah, people believe. It's the Rolex.
With the pseudo plastic wristband.
I've got one that's the screen from Star Trek Next Generation. Like, it looks like one of the screens on the Enterprise.
PADD?
Yeah.
Or like, yeah. Looks like a computer screen, yeah.
I have one that's...
Control panel, that's what I was looking for.
One that's a Pip-Boy. The Pip-Boy health screen from Fallout.
Vault, yeah. The Vault.
Yeah.
Kid.
Yeah, I have Fallout 4. I've played it off and on, but I keep getting distracted. My current distraction is Doom.
Yes. And which, Doom is fucking metal.
It is so fucking metal. Dude, okay, so Doom, it was like the second big 3D shooter. The first one was Wolfenstein 3D.
Right.
But Doom just eclipsed it. And it's still, both of them are still playable. Like, I have both of them on my phone. However, like, when you're playing Doom, you're like, oh, I'm battling demons, it's hell and heavy metal, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, this new Doom took that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Gave it HD graphics.
Yes.
Gave it real metal. Uh-huh. It's not like a band, you know. It's like, but they they had guys, like, they had a metal band on, you know,
on tap.
In studio.
Yeah.
Just like, when you see something, just play something that you think fits.
All right.
And they do. Oh, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Just running around, and I'm just talking shit to demons. Like, they got it. They got it. Like when it starts up, Lance Henriksen does the voice of this, like, mad scientist that created this hell portal thing. Whatever. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Like, he starts talking.
You may know him as Bishop from the movie Aliens.
Yes.
Yes.
Or that guy I saw in first class when I was flying to Los Angeles.
Oh.
I walked by. He's really old now.
Yes.
He didn't have any of his makeup on. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he starts talking to you over this comm, and your character just goes, ah, and he like punches the radio because he starts giving you this exposition. He's like, you need to help stop this, or they're going to open it. And he just punches it and goes off, picks up a gun. Because that's all it is. It's just kill demons in creative and awesome ways. And my God, do they let you do it, James. Oh, geez, and Pete's. But I got to the best part where, spoilers, I crossed the portal into hell. And so I'm fighting demons in hell.
You crossed the portal into hell in a Doom game?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's fucking great. you know how Doom does, like, any of those, any good shooter. Like, they're like, okay, here's this guy. All right, you used to killing that guy? All right, well, here's this guy. He's worse than that guy. And they keep doing that.
Yeah.
Well, Doom's thing is they do that to degrees that are exponential. So you're like... Like, you know, so you meet the first Hell Knight. It's like a 8-foot-tall dude with no eyes.
Okay.
Who can jump vast distances and has giant claws and shoots shit at you and can tear your face off. Right? And you're like, oh, God, that's the worst. That can't... Yeah. That's never going to get worse than that.
Sounds like a terrible opponent. That's very frightening, yes.
Yeah, no way it's going to get worse than that.
Yeah.
Nope. Here you go. Here's a Manticore. Enjoy that guy.
Oh.
He's a 15-foot-tall, giant, fat dude with guns for hands.
Oh.
And you're like, oh, he's big and fat. He can't get... No, he can jump at you really, really far. I did not expect that. I was like, I got him. I'll just pick him off from here. And he, like, looks up where I'm at and just does this, like, bouncy, fat guy leap and is right there on top of me. And he sucked. And then there's the Cacodemons. It's the one that came after that. It's a giant, big dude with a cyclop ball thing. Got one dangly dead baby arm on one side, and they shoot shit at you, and they're awful. It's great, James.
Oh.
It's so fucking great. I haven't been this psyched playing a game in a long time.
Sounds cool. Sounds real cool.
Yeah.
I need to start playing another game. It might just be wind up being like Halo 5, but I finally finished Sunset Overdrive, so I need something else to get into.
Well, if you can find a deal on Doom, which is how I got it. I got a PlayStation Network. I had like a half off. Because it's still $60 GameStop, and so I got it for $30. I was like, yeah, I'll do that, because I'm off on the 4th of July. Let's do something American and blow shit up.
America, fuck yeah.
And I did. Problem was, right before I bought Doom, it's an absolutely mindless game.
Doom, Doom. Yeah.
I bought Assemblance.
A what?
Assemblance.
Okay.
It's like a semblance, like a memory or a, you know, kind of like that.
Something that resembles something else?
Yeah, but pushed into one word, a semblance.
Yeah. A semblance.
And it's a game kind of like that one I talked to you about, Gone Home.
Yeah, yeah.
Except not quite as deep and a little more sci-fi-y.
Oh, okay.
The whole point of the game is to figure out what's going on, right? So you wake up in this lab where you can step into like a holodeck that replays memories you have. And at first it's only 3 memories. And then it kind of grows from there. And I want to say spoilers, but it's not really spoilers because I still don't know what the fuck is going on. Apparently, I didn't know what I was getting into. Because this game has this whole external portion of it where, like, if you see, say, an email address on a file or something, you can, in real life, the real world, you send that email address an email.
Uh-huh.
And you get a reply, and that'll help you in the game.
Oh.
Like, as far as decoding shit. And you keep replaying these memories over and over again, and sometimes they'll change a little bit, depending on when you discover new things, because your memories are changing.
Right.
But I'm at a part right now where I step through this thing, and this whole screen is black. Like, the game is a total mindfuck. That's why I started playing it. They're like, yeah, this game will fuck with you. And so my whole monitor is black. Big old TV, it's just all black. But I can hear the AI in the lab talking to me. And just kind of repeating stuff over and over again. So I'm wandering around, and at some point I see what looks like a computer monitor far off. She's got a white screen.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't walk up to it. Like, I can... It's like I'm in a dark room or the bottom of a hole, and I can kind of walk to the side of it, but I can't touch it or anything. I don't know what's going on. I'm stuck. So I got Doom, and I started blowing up demons. Cause I, can, I can wrap my skull around
very
that.
Satisfying. Immediately satisfying.
Yes.
That sounds cool.
Speaking of satisfying violence. James?
Are you talking about BattleBots?
I am talking about BattleBots.
Oh, my God.
Dude, is it just me, or did DrumBots come out of nowhere?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've seen a couple, but this season, it's like, everybody figured out, oh, hey, this totally works.
Yeah.
And are doing that now. I really hope it, we get a Matador versus Tombstone. Oh,
yeah.
God. That Matador, when it started up, and you could hear it, like, over everything else, I was like, Jesus crap.
What the fuck is happening?
Yeah. That thing is a perfect little...
Yeah, that's like some pure destruction there.
Yes.
Yeah, and I was really pleased. I was very excited to watch the first episode of the season, and I did not realize it was a two-hour episode.
Yeah.
We got to the end of the first hour, and I was like, all right, you know, because I was like actually live tweeting too, because I never do that, because I was just fucking, you know. I was really excited and extremely bored during the parts that weren't actually the actual matches.
Yeah.
And so I'd be like, okay, well, just, you know. And but watching that DrumBot happen, and then, like, you know, when it, like, got to be, like, 59 minutes into, and it's like they're not, like, wrapping it up, like, next week we'll see, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, more stuff. I'm like, holy shit, this is 2 hours. This is 2 hours! Yeah, I was... First time I went to TV Guide to just make sure, you know, TV Guide / listings to make sure that it was like, that it actually was 2 hours and not like 90 minutes, but I was excited.
Yeah, yeah. And they kind of cut a lot of the bullshit out on this one, this season. Like, it's a lot of good bots. Like, they're showing some of the more boring matches, like Nightmare got knocked out pretty quick.
Yeah. Nightmare's not, I mean, not a very stable robot. I mean, like, if you have any finesse, you can beat Nightmare. Nightmare is, like, really destructive at, like, a very narrow... In a very narrow part, you know, he has a very narrow attack vector. So
yeah.
If you're in that, he can, you know, he can do some major damage to you. But
if you can knock him off his casters,
yeah, then you're great. Like with Warrior Clan last year, when they just got under his wheel and knocked him over, and he's like, okay, done. You know,
yeah.
Man, he's just very. I mean, he's destructive, which I love. I love, but and he's also easily destroyed, which I love. But anyway, so I'm excited that Sonny Wayachi's back too this year.
Yeah,
yeah.
But that dude was out.
Well, I mean, I think if he'd done better, then he would have gone out. He's like, all right, we got a good run. But he's like, we had a shitty run. Let's come back and kick the shit out of Ghost Raptor. Yeah.
Well, I love that worked out the way it did, too.
Yeah.
Like, that little bot, the little annoyance bot, I was like, what the fuck is that? Totally worked!
Yeah, I know.
Like, it pulled off a fucking victory with the bullshit side, but most of those are garbage. But they built that one so low that they just kind of wedged it underneath. They're like,
now you
sucks for you.
And here comes... You know, a robot with three hammers rotating at like 300 RPM, and each hammer is like 12 pounds, so when it hits you, it's going to hurt.
It's a great design.
Yeah, Son of Washu was a great design. In the original iteration of BattleBots, and he was like destroying shit right and left. I think he won the whole thing 1 year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they cut to a shot of him holding a giant nut.
Yeah, it made so much more sense than Son of Wayachi, or than Warrior Clan, I mean. The team, that you know, the robot they had last year.
Yeah. Have you been watching Preacher at all?
No, I still haven't seen it. Well, I mean, for the last week and a half, I've been in Orlando and then Fort Smith, so I've been, like, you know...
What were you doing in Orlando, James?
I mean, nothing productive.
Were you Disney World?
I didn't go to Disney World.
Did you go to Universal Studios?
I've seen, Harry Potter, and I went to Legoland also. But mostly I was, like, hanging out with people and going to get Vietnamese food and... to a coffee shop called the Drunken Monkey that actually didn't serve alcohol.
So wait a minute.
But Legoland was cool.
Wait a minute. You went to Orlando.
Yes.
Did you go to Universal Studios?
Yeah.
And you saw Harry Potter and all that?
I saw Harry Potter.
Did you get a wand?
I have a wand already. I have a Sirius Black wand.
Oh. But you didn't go to Disney?
No. Do you have a problem?
James...
Okay, Disney's expensive, and, like, I've never felt the allure to go to Disney. I've never been like, oh, I really need to go to Disney.
Have you never been to Disney World?
No, I've never been to Disney World.
Ever?
No, never. I don't know why that bears repeating, but no, I've never been to Disney World.
You gotta go now.
Why?
Because they turned half of it into Star Wars land.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they basically have gone like, hey, we own Star Wars now. Everything is Star Wars. Like, they're gonna have goddamn droids wandering around.
Well,
like, you know that the fucking cantina scene? Not the cantina scene, because there were no droids allowed. But
you're droids. You have to wait outside.
Yeah, but like, okay, imagine you're in Star Wars a world. Okay. Like, you land, bam, what do you want to see? You see Jedis.
I want to see Jedi. I want to see the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, and you want to see droids just wandering droids, around. Like, just that's droids. Just a thing. Motherfucker, they've got them. Just wandering around.
My problem is, there was also a four-year-old that was involved, and if I had to go, I had to bring the four-year-old, and...
You did not.
I did not.
What? You don't have to bring him.
No, like, with the entanglements, the social entanglements in which I was involved, I would have to bring a four-year-old.
You just tell everybody that you have to have a personal day because you got diarrhea, and then you go to Disney World.
Yes, and then if they happen to be, like, change their plans, and they go to Disney World, and they see me...
They're not going to see you. It's so full. It's so very full of
you
people.
You say that now, but how are you at Canasta? No. I'll go next year.
Did you see the thing I posted about Cosmo? I talked to Sonny about this, and I... disagreed with his opinion.
Cosmo.
C-O-Z-M-O. By a company called Anki. And Anki makes... Their big thing so far has been these AI-controlled, like, slot cars, kind of.
Uh-huh.
That they race, and, like, the cars know where they're at on the track, and they and where the other cars right. are, and they race, and so you can kind of tune them up, and the cars will race on their own. But the whole point of them doing that is because they wanted to build a personal companion bot. And Cosmo is what they built.
Oh, is this a sex thing?
No.
Oh.
Oh, Sonny and I immediately turned it into a sex thing.
Oh, okay.
If you listen to that, we're talking about like giving it a fleshlight. But
oh, we've talked about fleshlight and Roombas and all that kind of stuff
before. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Although, I don't know if we talked about Roombas or just a remote control car where you can just, you know, get in the right position and back it into you.
I don't remember that conversation, James.
I remember it was fleshlight. I don't remember if it was...
I think it was fleshlight and a Roomba.
It was a Roomba?
I think we did talk about that.
Yeah.
Which is a brilliant idea. Only problem is if it gets too close, it'll stop and turn around.
Which is fine as long as it doesn't go far. And then it just comes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes forward, and then it goes back, and then forward, and then forward, back, forward, back.
And that part of your floor is really, really clean.
Yes.
I'm trying to bring up a picture of the guy.
It's a nice, nice use of euphemism.
Euphemism.
Got my floor really clean, if you know what I mean.
Okay, so this is Cosmo.
Okay.
He is a little bit smaller than your Snapple bottle.
Oh.
Yeah, he's really tiny.
He's like 15 ounces.
Yeah, but his head moves around in all directions, and his face is LED, like Eva in WALL-E.
Yeah, they made other stuff. I've seen some of their other things, I think. It looks familiar.
Well, this is their first big
That's
product.
That's a small one.
Yeah, he's tiny.
Yeah.
But apparently he's smart as shit.
Okay.
Like not smart. I mean, it's AI, but
yeah,
it's...
Yeah, it's advanced.
But basically, he annoys you. It's like a little electronic puppy.
Oh.
Kind of. Is the way he plays.
So it's like a Tamagotchi that actually moves around?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like $160, I think.
Oh. That's just like... That's like the same price as those BB-8 things that roll around.
Yeah. So I asked Sonny. I said, you want one? He was like, no. That's ridiculous. And I was like, Sonny, I'm getting it. And he was like, no, it's not. Because I've always wanted a companion robot. And here it is. And again, it's just a... It's like Ray Kurzweil. You know, and how he wants to live forever.
Yeah.
All right, so he's like, the technology's not there now, but I need a door to a door to a door to a door, right? So, like, right. Now he exercises, he takes vitamins, he goes to the doctor every week and gets, like, 3 vials of blood drawn and tested and all this stuff. Like, he's hacking himself to the point where he can tune everything to be perfect.
Right.
You know, he takes, like, 100 pills a day, like, all these supplements and shit, most of which he's just shitting out. For a smart guy, he's an idiot. But... He wants to get to that point where we have, like, nanobots that can rebuild his dad out of the grave. That's one of the things he wants to do. So this Cosmo is that first little door for me.
Yeah.
Like, where he's like, because he doesn't really talk. He just makes noise. Kind of like WALL-E, except WALL-E uses more words.
Walter.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So he's like, hey, blah, 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 blah. And he hang, you know, he'll run around my desk knocking shit
like,
over.
What does it sound like? In Star Fox, the way that people in the video game,
yeah, blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah,
and like they had subtitles, but you know they were like blah, 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 or Mutant League Football.
But I think things are gonna be fucking charming because the guy who designed all of his facial expressions and things like that used to work for Pixar. He actually designed WALL-E.
Oh, well, there you go.
So I think it's gonna be great. As soon as it comes out, I'll have one run around my office, just terrorizing you the whole time.
How far off is it?
I think it comes out in October.
Oh, so not that long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that'll be cool. Unless you, until you like leave it alone like you do the dogs and wait for it to destroy something.
I don't think it will. It only has that one kind of arm in the front.
I know, but it, you know, it's kinda AI, like a, so like, you know, it may like start to evolve. I mean, my mom and I just finished watching, you know, iRobot again, so you never know what's going to happen.
You didn't watch Ex Machina together, did you?
My mother and I?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
All right. I saw it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she hasn't seen it at all.
But my dad saw that.
Yeah.
It was a weird moment. He was like, yeah, I watched Ex Machina. And I was like, oh, yeah. Because a great movie.
It is a great movie. A
lot of tits.
Lots of nakedness.
Yeah. And like tits. Lithe, delicious nakedness.
Yes.
So not something you want to really think about your dad watching.
No. I was just talking to somebody about... Yeah, I really don't want to end this conversation.
No, no, what? I love when you get that look on your face.
No, because a friend of mine was talking about how, as a thought experiment, he imagined himself having sex with his mother.
Mm?
And I was like, you read too much the Robert Heinlein.
Fuck?
Which I knew he did, like, but he's, you know.
As a thought experiment?
As a thought experiment. So, he's an interesting guy.
So wait, he was just like, so he was just like, I wonder how that would be. No, nope, awful. It's awful.
Yes, pretty much. He's like, I'm never going to do that again.
Or did he like sit down and like light some candles and like get into like a meditation pose and breathe in, breathe out, and mother walks in, mother bats her eyes at me, mother bares a shoulder and removes her robe, mother lays on the bed, I kiss her deftly on her neck. Or what, like, I mean, how far did he go into this?
Yeah, I didn't ask all that many questions. He just said as a thought experiment, he imagined it, and then will not imagine it anymore. Why would I want that many details? Why would I want to have that long a discussion about somebody having sex with their own mother?
See, this is a weird point. Like, not, I mean, it's weird all the way.
However, I mean, he also didn't specify, I thought about myself having sex with my mother to completion. You know, he just said, you know, I thought about having sex with my mother.
See, I wouldn't be able to stop harassing him about this because,
well,
like, I'm adopted, right? That yeah. doesn't make it okay.
Right, but it's a different thing.
It's a different thing. So, like, when people talk about their mother, I don't know how to explain it, but, like, when, like, for you, you came out of your mother.
I did.
There's a very direct biological tie there. So, my mother is my mother.
Yes.
Like,
she's your nurturer. She's your caregiver.
That's all I know of as a mother.
Yes.
I've never fantasized about sleeping with her. I have no more interest in sleeping with my mom than you do sleeping with yours. But there is a, like, I can go to
There's a biological taboo that
you've doesn't touched exist. Your mother's vagina.
Yes.
With your face.
Yeah.
I've never done that.
Well, good job.
Well, not your mother. Not mine either. I can never do it.
I've touched other people's mothers with my vagina. My face. I keep it in my pocket.
No, I was never breastfed. I don't have that weirdness. Or bonding. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
However you want to look at it. I didn't do that shit. But you ran your face along your mother's vagina.
Mm.
The doctor may have had to remove poops from you that were your mother's. Like, that may have happened to you, James.
Yes.
Yeah. Didn't happen to me. Ha-ha! Edge adoption. I'm not saying a woman's body is not hers to choose to do with. But if you think about giving your child up for adoption, no, they will live their life happy in the knowledge that the person whose vagina they came out of, they don't have to know personally.
Yes.
So that's my bit of support there.
Yes, it's a burden they will not have to bear.
Yeah. I'm not looking to make you choose a side. But I'm saying there are some positives to being adopted.
Yes.
And that's a big one. Like, you know, my parents have never had sex. Ever.
You can, yes, you can legitimately believe that. I mean, it's a 99.999% chance you're wrong.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But it's 0.1%, James.
Yes.
You, however, rub your face on your mom's cooch.
Yes. They've had sex at least 3 times.
So are you the youngest or the oldest?
How come I can't be the middle child?
Are you?
No, I'm the oldest.
Right.
Most people would be like, "Yeah, you're the youngest, aren't you?" But I don't know.
It's because I'm the oldest. I also have both my younger siblings are sisters. I have no brothers.
Yes.
Which is the only, as an adopted guy, that's the only reason I would really want to find my birth parents.
To see if you have a brother?
Yeah, to see if I have a brother. Like, I mean, it'd be neat if I had, like, other sisters I didn't know about, whatever. Like, yeah. But I have sisters. I know what that's like. But, like, like having a brother is, like, something I always wanted growing up. Like, I was like, can we get, like, one more? That's another thing about adoption. It's like puppies. Like, can we get another boy?
Well, I mean, I'm sure it's a different experience having an older brother as opposed to a younger brother.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you don't have a bully at home when you're the older brother. No, my brother looked out for me, and still does in many ways. But, yeah, he was definitely the older brother and exercised that aspect, you know, rather often.
Yeah, I don't think I was a terrible older brother. But, again, it was sisters. So, yeah. Like, my youngest sister and I got along pretty well growing up. Her and her older sister, my middle sister, I guess it's her middle sister too, but whatever. They had more issues because they also shared a room for a while. And then the youngest sister, she got her own room eventually. And things were far better for her, but, you know, having someone older than you that you have to share a room with, you're always like,
yeah.
What's it? Well, it's just going to take it. It's just going to take whatever is mine. I have nothing. It's mine. Which is probably why she got so good at, like, saving money. Like, she's, she's like, stashing it all over the place like a freaking drug cartel.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't think it was that terrible. I mean, I can think of times where it's like, I'm the oldest. My word is law.
I am the elder brother. Yeah.
We're all bastards, so it doesn't matter.
I am the elder bastard. Nick Bastard. Anyhow, how you doing? What? Why are you looking at me like that?
Oh, it's just cute.
Yes, you're Nick Bastard.
You're just like, Nick Bastard.
Nick Bastard.
Well, I'm rehearsing a play right now called Da.
Oh, that was going to be like called Bastard.
Well, it's a Irish play about a guy who's adopted. And his father has died of old age. And so he's middle-aged. And he's going back home to his father's house to kind of clear up the effects. And so as he's wandering around, his dad appears. It's like a memory. But he's like following him around. And he's like, oh, yeah, I remember that. And he's like, shut up. I don't want to leave me alone. And his dad's like, blah, blah, blah. Like, he can't get away from his dad. So he's kind of reliving different poignant moments in his life. And like a younger version of him comes into the room at one point. And he's like, oh, this little asshole. And he's like, you are an asshole. You're a little prick. And, you know, the kind of back and forth, that kind of thing. But him being adopted kind of comes into play a couple times. And it's in a way that, I don't know, like, being adopted is the only existence I've known.
Right.
So, like, I don't have another perspective. I'm just like, yeah, I'm adopted. Whatever. Yeah. It's been like this whole layer thing.
Your parents chose you.
Yeah, well, that's what I always use when people give me shit about it. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just a thing. It's like having six toes. You kind of...
Those are the toes you were born with.
Like, I don't know how you people keep your balance without that extra toe there. Like, and I can't recall ever being really offended by somebody, like, giving me shit about it. Like, one of my friends once said, it's like you were bought. And that kind of bothered me. Like, your parents just bought you. And then I was like, yeah, that's fair enough. It's not an inexpensive process.
Yeah.
It's not like fostering kids where the government's just like, we'll give you money. Just hold on to these things, please.
Yeah.
I don't know. And they didn't Angelina Jolie me. As far as I know, my parents didn't, like, go off to some foreign land and steal me.
Like, where? Like, Scotland or Ireland or someplace?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe you're Canadian.
I might be.
Oh, yeah.
Hey?
Hey. Do you like hockey?
Yeah, I actually played hockey.
In Louisiana. Like, I had roller hockey.
Both.
Oh.
I had to seek it out, James.
How do you feel about universal healthcare?
I'm for it.
Okay. I don't know what that accent was. It just happened.
I also like Labatt's. All my accents now are like, I don't really. No, right now all my accents just go to Irish because that's what I've been doing for, you know.
Oh, yeah, for the play.
For the play, yeah. And apparently my accent's too... It's... Like, my character's supposed to have gone to London and then come back.
Oh, so you need to get a bit of a British twang to it?
Well, I need to... The guy who's playing the younger me has less of a brogue than I do. And so I've got to, like, back it off. So I was like, well, no, just make him sound worse. Like, if he sounds worse, we won't be able to understand him. And so I've got to try to bring it back.
Yes.
And become, like, a cultured Irishman.
I'm bringing in my accent
like an Oscar
back.
Wilde, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know what he sounded like.
He was Irish.
I know he was Irish. But, he's just a cultured Irishman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got to find recordings of him. But I don't think there are many.
There can't be that many.
Yeah. I don't know if there are any,
actually. Because he died in, what, 1912?
Was it that late?
I don't know.
Let's see.
Maybe it was, I mean...
When did Oscar Wilde die?
How come he's not making noise?
Oscar Wilde died November 30th, 1900, at age 46.
1900?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, shit. He was only 46? I guess that makes sense. I can't picture an old Oscar Wilde. Old Oscar Wilde!
So, yeah, there's no... there's probably no recordings of Oscar Wilde.
Yeah.
And if they are, they're probably like... Ah, you see? Yeah, here's the new radio. He's using his radio voice, so...
So it sounds like I'm on old-time radio. No.
I don't understand why I'm talking like this. By golly. I'm going to pick up myself one of those new penny farthings and go down to pick up some pocket candy. Perhaps watching one of these new moving films.
Films?
They say film in Ireland.
They do.
It's weird.
I was at an Irish... there's an Irish bar in New Orleans, and they have trivia every Monday night, and... It was just funny because, you know, the host was like, in what film did Clint Eastwood play William, whatever his last name was in Unforgiven?
Was the host Irish?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, actually from Ireland.
Yeah, like, yeah, there's several people. Well, the two people that were running the trivia were definitely Irish. There were a few, like, the bartenders, they were not as Irish. But they didn't talk as much either, and they weren't on a microphone.
So who knows?
Who knows?
Say... Film.
Film.
Aha! James is black Irish.
I'm Blyrish?
Blyrish.
Yes. Like Bernie Mac in... Was it Bernie Mac in... Charlie's Angels. Charlie's Angels 2.
Oh, see, I was thinking of Samuel L. Jackson in that one where he was Scottish.
Oh, Formula 51?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is actually not that bad of a flick. Did you see it?
No.
Or did you just pull that out your ass?
I mean, I saw, like, part of it, but I remember, I mean, I don't have to see a film to remember it.
I remember enjoying it, although I only watched it once, so it may be a piece of shit. It was a lot of, I have a problem where if I see a movie, like, in a theater or something like that, if it's on the big screen, I'm like, this is a good movie. That has dropped a good bit over time. I've also seen a couple really bad ones. Like, I saw Layer Cake in the theater.
Yeah.
Which was very long and dry and just awful.
I watched the first half of that at home. I never bothered to finish it though.
Yeah, I couldn't get away. We went with people. A couple took us.
Oh, I've walked out of films even when I've been with people.
Really?
Yeah, She's So Lovely. There was like four of us there, and I was like 40 minutes into it. I'm like, yeah, this isn't for me. I'm just gonna go to the front and play an arcade game. Sorry, I just remembered that like Samuel Jackson's voice was in my dream last night. It was really weird.
Yeah?
Was it the night before?
Dude, that's a fantastic segue.
Well, I was...
No, I mean, seriously, you had no idea where I was going to go next. But no, go ahead. Samuel Jackson's voice is in your dream.
Yeah. Were you actually somewhere... Did you actually have somewhere to go?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, continue.
Okay, yeah. Well, no, I was like the secret agent guy, but I was like under... It was kind of like I was invading the Hydra headquarters, although I'm not sure it was Hydra. It was just like one of those organizations that's full of bad people, like Spectre or Hydra and Cobra or whatever.
Did you have spy gear on and shit?
I mean, not that you could see. It was, like, underneath my clothing.
Okay.
I knew I had spy gear. I don't know what it was.
Were you wearing a tux?
It wasn't a tux, but it was, like, a fine suit uniform type of thing.
Okay.
And I presented this file to, like, one of the bad guy officer guys, and it started playing. And, like, my brain recognized it as a music from Medal of Honor, one of the Medal of Honor video games that Michael Giacchino composed. Because,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Because that's weird. Because Michael Giacchino's done a lot of Medal of Honor. He's done the soundtrack to a lot of the Pixar movies. He's doing it for the Star Trek movies with J.J. Abrams.
Mm-hmm.
He does a lot of J.J. Abrams stuff. But anyway, but the music was playing backwards instead of like the regular theme. And like, you know how when you play some music backwards, you like hear...
The devil?
Yeah, you hear the devil. You hear words that were not meant.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it was like a German chorus started playing. And it was like them, like Wagnerian almost. And they were like, we will bring 300 horses. And then So then, like, the bad guys were like, yeah, this is exactly the fight we're looking for. It's like our new propaganda song or something. But then, like, Samuel Jackson's voice comes over and he's like, now that you're playing this file, our system, our, you know, our virus is in your computer. We're going to take it over. And it's all thanks to, you know, and, like, he mentions me. Like, he says, you know, I don't remember what my name was in the dream, but it's like basically everybody looks at me, like, because they, you know, there's like, I don't, however he says it, it, like, undoes my cover. Like, apparently I was supposed to drop the file off and leave. But, you know, I was like, I missed that memo. So I had to, like, fight my way off, and I, like, take a nail file and stab somebody in the throat and then, like, you know, jet out. I took out three people, but that was the only one I killed. How you doing?
Awesome. Okay, so that does segue into what I was going to talk about. And I'm not kidding. So it's my shop doesn't have the AC on all the time, so it can get warm in here.
Right.
When it gets warm in here, I have to air out the drawers in my desk because they will collect heat and mugginess.
Yes,
and so
humidity.
Stuff can grow in them. So I actually, they got all got little silica packets in them now.
That's wise.
But I had to. It's something I didn't realize was going on until I, like, I pulled out an old knife and, like, the sheath was all molded up and I was like, oh, gross. So I had to throw that away, and so I put all the silica packets in the drawer to help absorb moisture. One of the things I pulled out, though, was this journal that Carol got me a while back.
It's, like, leather bound.
Yeah, it's leather bound. It's got, like,
it's got the little cord that you wrap around. Oh, yeah, it's got the little strap.
Yeah, it's got, like, that natural, like, hand pressed paper stuff.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, what the fuck is this? Let's see. And so I opened it up, and what it is a journal I started keeping because,
how long ago?
2008.
Oh, okay.
Because what I did was I started recording dreams that I remember.
Oh.
And instances of deja vu. Because you know how you have like deja vu moments where you're like, I totally dreamed this.
Yeah.
So I was like, did I? Let's find the fuck out. So I started trying to keep track. And I it's something I do far less often, but I was like, oh, James should hear some of these. Some of these fucked up dreams that I have. Let's see. I have not read this yet.
Okay.
So I don't...
This is like Al Capone's vault on the Geraldo show.
Yeah. So this
We don't know what's happening here, ladies and gentlemen. You're live with us. We're going to find out what's in the journal.
It's 2008, so it's what, 8 years ago?
Yes.
Okay. So here's the first one.
Nick is reading from the journal.
Was at the grocery store, purchased several containers of snuff, returned home, and they were lost.
Oh.
Allison helped me look for them, my sister, finally gave up with her believing she donated them to charity.
Okay, so should we interpret these? This means you don't trust your sister.
Maybe, I don't know.
But you don't trust yourself even more.
Alright, that's fair. Okay, second one. Dad was mad at me for an unspecified reason. Went to another room in the house, not a house we've lived in, with another boy my age. Returned later to ask about the whereabouts of a project we had worked on together so he could dismantle it for something else.
So you're afraid of disappointing your father, especially in unknown territory, since it's not your real house? But it is your house? It seems like things should be familiar, but they're not. The other boy, who is exactly your same age, represents a different side of you that you have not yet come to confront.
Okay. let's see.
Are you trying to read your handwriting? You having issues? Yeah, does the word nipple appear?
No. Okay. Dreamed I was jogging around the Webb golf course, met a blonde...
Webb? The Breck Park?
No, yeah, the Webb golf course. Yeah. Met a blonde 12-year-old girl who was skinny with curly hair. She followed me around as I played golf, trying to convince me she was a lesbian. Doctor?
No, it sounds like you have elements of your own sexuality that you have yet to release.
I am a lesbian, James.
Yes, I know.
I have a lot in common
with lesbians. They like what I like.
Okay, I dreamed I was at a fancy hotel.
Vaginas.
Dreamed I was at a fancy hotel for a Comic-Con type thing. Went out to eat at a fancy restaurant and then tried to get back into the hotel with all my bags of leftovers. Got blocked by a wedding party trying to get to the elevators, including two people in wheelchairs. used a side elevator and ended up in a hospital burn unit where an elevator turned from glass into a freight elevator with superheroes on the other side. They all joined me except for Mr. T. There were two, the real one and a larger-than-life cartoon one, and a regular guy in a costume. They got on the freight elevator, and it broke and fell. Then we were all okay, and I was back in my room. Go ahead.
I have no idea.
All right. Yeah, it's fucked up.
It's always, well, it's weird. I have a recurring theme in a lot of my dreams where there's like two people that are the same. Like my friend Aaron is in one of my dreams where he was like there and also there. He's like, there's two of them.
Uh-huh.
And so like, I don't know. That's a particular element when there's like a Mr. T and another Mr. T.
Uh-huh.
That's really an interesting element that I would like to know the answer to in like a dream interpretation type of way.
I think it's just your brain going, all right, it's like when you play Grand Theft Auto, all right, and you see like a pickup truck.
Uh-huh.
And then you see like 10 more pickup trucks because the game's just like pickup trucks.
Pickup trucks.
Or maybe
it's like deja vu within deja vu. Like it's a dream within a dream that's overlapping.
That would explain why it lasted so long.
It's like clipping? What do you call it?
That sounds good. Clipping?
Yeah.
It's a dream clip?
Dream clip.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see.
I was going to say you felt like you were on the outside of the party since the wedding party was going on without you, but then you were hanging out with the superheroes in the elevator.
Let's see.
It's also interesting that your dream put you back at your original, in your room, before the dream ended, as opposed to like you just waking up in your room. That's weird. It's weird. In a world. This is all 2008, probably?
Yeah.
You didn't keep this for long?
No. No, that's it. There are a couple short story ideas.
Are there dates? Is this like over the course of dates like a month times. Or like?
So the first entry was 1:45 a.m. February 15th, 2008.
Okay.
The last entry was August.
Oh.
17th.
So you had like 6 dreams in 6 months.
Yeah, I don't wake up a lot in the middle of the night remembering my dreams.
Oh, okay.
And there were probably a few times where I did, and I was just like, I should write that down. I'll do it in the morning. And then I didn't remember shit.
That's the danger when you're talking about dreams. I used to dream. I mean, I still take notes on some of my weirder dreams.
Makes for great story ideas.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that whole, like, Samuel Jackson thing, like, I might put that into a story at some point. I've got a writing group meeting coming up on Saturday, so I might throw something in there when we do our little writing session part of that.
Are you going to NaNoWriMo this year? I know it's early.
Yeah. And actually, I mean, there's a camp NaNoWriMo going on for July already, but I'd too late to start on that. Although you can do your own, decide your own goal. So I might do like a 30,000 one, a 30,000 word NaNoWriMo? 30,000 word RIMO, I guess, writing month. Anyway, I'm fine.
Be a JunoWriMo?
That sounds racist for some reason. Solomon Grundy don't want to write.
Solomon Grundy don't want Juno Ramo.
Solomon Grundy don't want Ramo. Solomon Grundy no Ramo. Solomon Grundy no Ramo. Nano Ramo.
Solomon Grundy Nano Ramo. Memorama.
Yeah. The youngest U.S. president to be in office was... It's a real fact on my Snapple cup.
JFK?
Nope. He was his youngest elected, but the youngest to serve as president was Theodore Roosevelt at the age of 42.
Huh.
Because McKinley was like, hey, everybody, bang. Oh.
Chogosh, you dick.
Yeah, that was McKinley, right? Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because Garfield was like 20 years before.
Yep.
Sure.
Sure, why not? Well, James, do you want to call it there? I think it's an interesting place to end it.
Yeah, I think so. We were talking about dreams and stuff.
Dreams and things.
There's serious stuff we could talk about, too, but, you know, we decided to just make it lighthearted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until then. Like, I didn't want to talk about my AIDS, but I should mention I do have AIDS.
You're not just HIV positive? You have full-blown AIDS?
No, I'm HIV positive. I have AIDS.
Yeah. You have positive.
And with that, I'm Nick Moore.
I'm James Brown.
And I'm Nick Moore, and you've been dorked. I don't really have AIDS, James.
He doesn't. It's true.
Just crabs. Just a scorching case of crabs.
Scorch in case of syphilis.
They're awful.
What was it she said in Ferris Bueller's Day Off? If you're in the house...
I should also mention I have my father's gun and a scorching case of herpes.
Herpes, yeah. The herpes.
But that's fine because Jeffrey... What's Dahmer? His name? No, the actor.
Jeffrey Jones.
Jeffrey Jones. Not interested in her. No, he liked little boys.
He liked little boys.
Yep, and he's been busted several times for not registering as a sex offender.
Yeah.
He's got a great mugshot because like you can kind of watch him because he apparently doesn't register often. So, like, you have the skinny him before he went to prison, and then fat him when he came out of prison. He's still a pretty big dude.
Yeah.
And he was on Deadwood.
Oh, yeah.
He was very big. He was a newspaperman.
He was in a... The last thing I saw him was, like, a sci-fi movie. It was, like... Oh, actually, the one I was watching was, like, translated into German. And there was subtitles. I don't know why I was watching it. Anyway, the weather was... We need to go to this part.
Webos.